Welcome to the Enlightening Motherhood Podcast. I'm your host, Emily Hamblin.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley Schultz.
As moms who are currently in the thick of raising kids with big emotions, we know firsthand how challenging their intense behaviors can be.
And that a little support can go a long way.
This is a non-judgmental community that was created for you or any mom who's feeling overwhelmed, frustrated, or stressed.
Each week, either Emily or I will share our experiences, offer practical tips, and interview experts in the field so you can be empowered to help your children with their challenges.
Join us as we help you enlighten motherhood. Hello, everyone. This is Emily. Welcome to another episode. I'm so excited to have you today. I'm just going to jump straight into today's episode because I just can't wait. We're going to chat about emotional maturity and emotional immaturity, which is something that has really fascinated me. And I've been doing a lot of research about it. I really want to share with you what I've learned and some applications for our lives on what it is, maybe how it's affected us growing up and how it affects us now that we're parents. Okay, so my first biggest question that I wanted to delve into was, what's the difference between emotional intelligence and emotional maturity? Because I teach a lot about emotional intelligence. It's definitely something that I recommend. It's something that I work with my children on pretty much every single day. And honestly, it's something that I work on boosting in myself. Emotional intelligence has been an incredible game changer in our family. This, you know, you can go back and listen to episode number 88, The Journey to Raising Emotionally Intelligent Kids, Where to Start. And I kind of give you the foundation of how to help kids gain emotional intelligence. We talk about it a lot for us as adults, even though we often think of it being something that we should teach our kids. Being emotionally intelligent adults is definitely something I recommend and something I work on. But there's also this idea of not just like having the intelligence and the skills, but also having them mature, right? For example, if you go back to episode 95, I talk about defense mode and how I just recently realized how much I'm in defense mode as a default and how it's affected my relationship with my kids and with my husband's. So in any case, you can go back if you want some pre-ideas to this episode. But in a nutshell, emotional intelligence is the ability to recognize, understand, and manage someone, like your own emotions, and to recognize, understand, and see how the emotions of others influence us, right? It depends on who you ask. There's a lot of different areas of emotional intelligence: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship management. Every time I explain it, I seem to have a different explanation, but I think you kind of get the idea of this, right? Whereas emotional maturity, this is going to extend beyond recognizing and managing your emotions. It's developing those emotional skills. So emotional intelligence is kind of like laying the groundwork. It's gaining these skills, it's understanding, it's learning, it's growing. And then the maturity is the growing of those skills. For example, emotional maturity might include resilience or the ability to cope with challenges and bounce back from setbacks. Responsibility, taking ownership of one's actions, and understanding the impact of one's actions on other people and, like, you know, owning what you do. Empathy, patience, tolerance, the ability to consider long-term consequences of your actions, right? Emotional intelligence is a lot about the capacity and the skills to manage and use your emotions effectively. And emotional maturity, it up-levels it even more. It includes the application of these skills in a consistent, reasonable, and adaptive manner over time. Emotional intelligence can kind of be seen as like a little piece of emotional maturity. And emotional maturity being kind of broader, more integrated emotional development and emotional growth. Both are incredibly crucial for personal and, you know, for our personal development, for our relationships with others, and to our well-being and health in general. So let's dive into some examples. I made up two fictitious characters. I'm going to just say Alex and Jordan, just to give them a random name. And they're going to help us talk about what emotional intelligence might look like in a person and emotional maturity. Emotional maturity. So Alex recognizes when they're feeling stressed. They understand that this can make them feel more irritable. Alex uses deep breathing techniques to calm down when he begins to feel angry. Or maybe we can make her a she. We'll say, sure, Alex is a girl, she. Alex can tell when a colleague is upset, and she acknowledges her colleague's feelings. Alex uses their understanding of emotions to resolve conflicts and communicates effectively with their team. Isn't this great? All of those wonderful things of emotional maturity or emotional intelligence. Now, Jordan has taken her emotional intelligence and grown it and developed it and worked on it to develop even more emotional maturity. So even after a major setback at work, Jordan can learn from the experience and can be optimistic still towards the future. They don't think that one setback means that they need to just give up and, you know, set fire to the ship and head home. Oh, that's something I struggle with still. I'm just going to be honest. Maybe that I wrote that example because it sounds a little personal. Anyways, but Jordan's able to bounce back from hardships. Okay. When Jordan makes a mistake that affects their team, she openly admits it and she works to rectify the situation. Okay? She owns her own actions. Jordan not only recognizes when her friend is sad, but also spends time listening and offering support and really trying to understand her friend's perspective. Jordan patiently listens to a colleague, even though the colleague has a different opinion, even though the colleague is saying things that Jordan doesn't agree with. Jordan is able to sit and patiently listen without becoming defensive or upset. Some of these are like striking a chord within me. Apparently, I'm still growing. And so if they're striking a chord with you, this is not to call anyone out, except for maybe myself here. But it's not intended to give guilt. It's not intended to give shame. It's meant to give you some gentle nudges to your brain and to help you be aware of, you know, this broader idea of not just gaining skills, but maturing emotionally. Jordan reads an email that might have a message that is tempting to do something that Jordan doesn't really want to do long term, but in the moment might think about doing. But before reacting to it, Jordan reflects on the potential long-term impact of their response and then chooses a more thoughtful approach. So in these examples, Alex shows emotional intelligence with her ability to identify, understand, and manage emotions, both hers and others. And this is so crucial for our social interactions and for personal challenges. And then Jordan shows emotional maturity by consistently applying emotional understanding in a broader, more integrated manner, such as demonstrating resilience, responsibility, empathy, patience, and thoughtful reflection in various situations. So there's just this greater development, greater stability, and more maturity to handling her emotions. They're both extremely important. I would say emotional maturity is a deeper and more consistent application of emotional skills in real life situations. Okay, just to clarify a little bit more, sometimes it helps me to hear like what it's not. So I'm going to talk a little bit about emotional immaturity. And as I'm talking about this, I don't like to like call people out or whatever. So I don't even know your parents, but I think a lot of us in our generation can see or sense emotional immaturity from our parents. And I think if we did have emotionally immature parents or parents that were emotionally immature in certain ways, it's like they just never grew up in terms of their ability to handle emotions in healthy ways. You know, that sticks with us and that's affected us. And so it would leave us with the question of, okay, like, so as you're listening to this, and it sounds like your parents, and you're like, oh, that's what I grew up with. That's what I grew up with. This explains things. Yes, it does affect us. And it might even make some things harder for us. And instead of just ending, like, I feel like it would be very emotionally immature of us to just blame any difficulty that we have with emotions on our parents and just end it there. And instead, I feel like it would be very emotionally mature to recognize that, yes, that's an impact to my own emotional immaturity now as an adult. And what now? What am I going to do about it? You know, this is my life. I'm a grown up and I'm going to move forward. Okay, so as we talk about emotional immaturity, first of all, I just want to say that all children are probably emotionally immature. Remember that prefrontal cortex, or the part of the brain, the upstairs brain, that is responsible for emotional maturity, doesn't finish developing until somewhere between like age 20 to 25. And depends on who you ask. Some people say it could be 26, 28, but we're looking at like mid 20s. I'm pretty sure mine was a little bit later on the range there, to be honest. I got married in my early 20s, and I was definitely not emotionally mature. And my emotional regulation was a lot harder those first few years of marriage. I often think, like, maybe I should give a class to newlyweds and teach them emotional maturity, because it would have helped me so much in those early years of marriage. My husband is wonderful. Okay, I'm not confessing. Okay, moving on. So children are emotionally immature. Like, that is part of life. As we give them this gift of emotional intelligence that we are working so hard to help them gain and nurture and grow, as they grow, that emotional intelligence will grow with them, and it will give them such a greater advantage to having more emotional maturity as they grow. So if we're talking about adults now, adults that are emotionally immature, or I should say that have emotional immaturity, because I don't really want to label them, but emotional immaturity in adults might look like, how many things do I have here? I have a list and I didn't number them. Let's see. I have a list of 7 different things that it might look like. Okay, number 1, difficulty regulating emotions. This might be an adult that can't really handle the emotions when they come up. That when an adult feels an intense, unpleasant emotion, such as shame, embarrassment, loneliness, boredom, humiliation, frustration, anger, disapproval, or even sadness or loneliness or vulnerability, that they don't have healthy ways to handle that emotion. That when it does come up, they become dysregulated and it's really hard for them to become regulated again. Or they turn to unhealthy ways to handle those emotions, such as numbing. Numbing might look like turning to alcohol, food, sex, pornography, or, you know, shopping, endless scrolling on social media, anything to just not deal with the emotion and to just put it on the side, stick it in the freezer. I don't want to deal with this. I'm just going to ignore it. And I'm going to engage in a behavior that can numb my emotions so I don't feel while I'm doing this other thing. Other unhealthy ways might be taking it out on others. I've been like almost uncomfortably vulnerable sometimes with sharing that was how I would handle my anger, frustration, stress, overwhelm as a mom. I would yell at others a lot. I would blame my husband for things. I would say negative things to him. I would yell at my kids. I would say snide comments. I would be sarcastic or even give consequences to my kids that I probably didn't need to be giving. Right? Sometimes I'd even punish them because it was my way of handling my own emotion. If you're doing any of these, I'm not saying you're a bad person. I certainly would never say I was a bad mother. Maybe at the time I thought I was, but I can tell you I've never been a bad mother. I just didn't have the skills to handle the hard times. Okay. More unhealthy ways to handle emotions. This is what I was doing also. It's taking it out on yourself. When you're feeling bitter or resentful or disgusted or stressed, that you take it out on yourself. Your interior critic has a heyday. They throw a little party. They get after you for all of the things. You turn inward, you self-hate, you self-loathe. This is where some people turn to eating disorders, not for body image issues, which is something we could talk about totally another day. But they even turn to eating disorders as part of taking emotions out on themselves. They punish themselves. If you've read or watched or listened to Harry Potter, you know Dobby the elf, who he's constantly punishing himself. Some people kind of, I mean, we related so much with that because a lot of us do it to ourselves. It's an unhealthy way to handle emotions. There's a healthier way to handle them. Emotional immaturity is when we can't access healthy ways to handle it. So we numb it, or we take it out on others, or we take it out on ourselves. So difficulty regulating emotions, that's the first sign of emotional immaturity. Second sign, difficulty owning your actions. In other words, an emotionally immature adult finds it really difficult to be responsible for their own decisions, for their own actions. They might blame their decisions on others. They might even blame like unrelated events. Like we go outside and it's raining and I get an emotionally immature person might say, oh, they might say to their husband, like, oh, it's your fault for washing the car that we have this rain. Even though like we know it's not our husband's fault for washing the car. We just want to blame someone else for it, right? Maybe when we have a knee-jerk reaction, like we become overstimulated and we scream, that we can't not try to blame someone else for that. Or even our emotions. Oh, it's my kid's fault that I'm angry. It's my husband's fault that I'm sad. It's, I don't know, my neighbor's fault that I'm feeling so empty. It's my friend's fault for not calling me on my birthday that I'm feeling really abandoned right now. Whatever it is, we tend to not own our own emotions. And we don't even think that we have control over them. We just are too busy blaming other people that we don't even think that we can control our own emotions. By the way, realizing that myself, that my emotions were not anyone's responsibility except for mine, that was a game changer. Understanding that I'm in charge of my emotions, game changer. Didn't mean that instantly I had control over them, because I had to learn a lot of different strategies and techniques to control my own emotions, but learning that I could control them and not other people, incredible. Similarly, emotionally immature adults will often blame others for their mistakes, right? So when a mistake is made, it's not my fault. It's always someone else's fault. Okay. Emotionally immature people have poor impulse control. Now, this is going to look different for adults than for kids. Well, maybe. My kids' poor impulse control is like we're at the store and they are just like opening the candy and it's in their mouth. Like, oh my goodness. Okay. And that's when I knew I had to start working with my kids on impulse control. There's another impulse control that shows up, especially with adults, and that's making decisions based on immediate desires or immediate feelings without considering the long-term consequences, right? It's like living in the now, and I'm not going to think about tomorrow, which I know is really cool to say right now and stuff. But at the same time, that's emotionally immature to only think about right now and not to think about the long-term impact of your decisions. That is a sign of emotional immaturity. Another one is that emotionally immature people tend to love the newest thing, the newest flavor, the newest toy, the newest app, whatever, until they meet a hiccup, until it's no longer perfect, until they find there's a mistake, something wrong, and then suddenly it's horrible, right? It's like this black or white thinking, which I've been guilty of, and I talk about that a lot. It's difficult for my brain to not be black or white sometimes, but it's this like I get a new app and I'm using the app and oh my goodness, this is awesome. And I love it. And then it has a glitch. And then it's like, that's it. I'm deleting the app and it's horrible and I hate it and I never want to see it again. And so we see this. It's not a huge deal if it's an app on your phone, but when it comes to relationships, jobs, responsibilities, then it becomes a bigger deal. Right? Emotionally immature people look for ways to escape when things begin to get difficult. They haven't yet developed the grit or the ability to handle hard things. And so instead of handling them, they just try to escape it. Emotionally immature people have difficulty seeing other perspectives. If an opinion differs from their own, they don't want to try to understand it. They don't even want to try to understand it. It's almost like they think that trying to empathize means agreeing with someone. They can't distinguish between seeing it from your point of view, even though I don't agree with you. It's a sign of emotional immaturity, this inability to try to understand someone else's point of view without agreeing. Okay. Number six, emotionally immature people are very dependent on others for validation. They might rely heavily on others for approval, struggle with self-esteem issues, etc. This is something I still will go to my husband, like, I'll like get dressed for church and go to him and say, does this outfit go okay together? And he like doesn't care at all about clothes. And so he's always like, yeah, it looks fine. And it's funny because I know that he'll almost always tell me it looks fine. And yet I still go to him for validation. There's probably some maturity that I need to work on there. Like I said, I'm feeling called out with my own podcast episode today. But I really wanted to share with you what I'm learning because it's really helpful for me. So I hope it's helpful for you. Okay, number seven, emotionally immature people are resistant to change. Right? Often they have a hard time adapting to change. They might even react negatively or become defensive when they're faced with a new or unexpected situation, especially if that new or unexpected situation is out of their control. So like, if I wake up and I think, you know, usually we have, I don't know, oatmeal for breakfast, but today we're going to have pancakes. Then that's in my control. I'm probably going to feel fine with it. But if I wake up and usually my husband makes us oatmeal and that morning he decides to make us pancakes. And I'm like, why are you making us pancakes? You know, and I become a little bit negative or reactive or defensive. That's probably a sign of emotional immaturity. If I'm expecting one thing and another happens and I don't yet have the skills to handle that, that's a sign of emotional immaturity. By the way, that's called a prediction error. If you want to learn more about that, head over to episode number 96. I talk about prediction errors. I do it in the lens of children, but let's be honest, adults struggle sometimes often with prediction errors too, especially when we're still lacking that emotional maturity. Okay, so this is a lot. There's one more thing. I said seven, but there's a bonus number eight because I just remembered it right now as I'm recording. But it's kind of funny because it's something I'm working on and it's definitely another sign of emotional immaturity. The inability to describe emotions. Inability to describe what an emotion feels like in your body. To label it, to recognize its impact. I guess that is some emotional intelligence there. But then putting it to use so that when someone asks, how are you doing? And you say, oh, good. Like, what does good mean? Does it mean happy? Does it mean playful? Does it mean powerful? Does it mean peaceful? Does it mean optimistic? Does it mean curious? Does it mean confident? Does it mean loving? That's just happy. Or someone says, how are you? And you're like, eh, not so good. What does not so good mean? Does it mean confused? Does it mean stressed? Does it mean tired? Does it mean apathetic? Does it mean insecure? Does it mean furious? Does it mean annoyed? Does it mean uncomfortable? Does it mean hesitant? Does it mean jealous? Okay, do you see the difference? But like, as I say those emotions, those are much different feelings. Like even happy is so different when we feel like peaceful as opposed to feeling inquisitive, right? Those could both be considered a branch of happy. Or when we feel blissful as opposed to feeling hopeful. They're both branches of happy, but they're different feelings. They're different emotions. They're different experiences. They're affecting us in different ways. As we mature emotionally, we not only know what these words are, but we're able to apply them, think of them, turn to them, use them. Being able to accurately describe or more describe in greater detail our emotions and incorporating that into our lives is a definite sign of emotional maturity. Okay, now, super important to recognize that emotional immaturity is not a fixed state. It's not like, oh, that person was born without emotional maturity. I guess that they're going to be emotionally immature for their whole life. It's not a fixed state. Okay. Self-awareness, effort, practice, support. All adults, even those of us who were in adulthood realizing that we had a great deal of emotional immaturity, all adults can develop greater emotional maturity. You can learn to understand and manage emotions. You can develop more empathy, take responsibility for your actions, build healthier, more stable relationships. In our Emotionally Healthy Families membership, we explore so many ways that we as parents can grow in our emotional maturity. And of course, this doesn't just benefit us, but it benefits our children so much. They're being raised in a more nurturing, supportive environment. They have better relationships. They have an amazing example. But I want you to remember, it's about progress, not perfection. And every single step, even like a tiny one, even like a half of a percent progress towards greater emotional health is a step towards a healthier life. So it's worth it. If any of these resonated with you, you don't need to like doom and despair. Oh, that was me. Oh, that was me again. Oh, that was me again. Because I even told you some of these are still me. I'm still working on some of these. The point is that we want to continue working. This is a lifelong thing. Emotional health is like physical health. We can't just be like, well, I'm healthy today, and so tomorrow I don't need to drink my water. You know, I'm hydrated today, so tomorrow I don't need to be hydrated. This is a lifelong thing. Maturing emotionally is something we can work on for our lives, for our whole lifetime, right? And I also feel it's important because I know some of you are probably thinking of parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, like people that are much older than us that are still very emotionally immature. We're not just going to get emotionally mature by accident. We need to work at it. We don't have to work at it every minute of every day. We should not work at it in a lens of self-negativity, self-critiquing, self-hatred, but rather with a lens of self-compassion. I am doing my best. It makes total sense why I'm not yet emotionally mature. And I love me enough to work on my own emotional maturity. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you have a beautiful week. Wish there were a shortcut to help your child develop better tools to handle their big emotions in a healthier way? Well, there is. Introducing Emotionally Intelligent Kids, a central hub full of new resources each month designed to elevate your child's emotional intelligence in just minutes each week. And the best part? Right now, you can get instant access to all of these resources for just $7 a month. Visit www.enlighteningmotherhood.com/kids for all the details. I can't wait to welcome you in.